if I had a bell, I'd ring it in the morning, I'd ring it in the evening, all over this land. I'd ring out danger, I'd ring out warning.
Good morning, welcome to the roundtable for this Friday, the 23rd of July. We are more than a little thrilled that you are with us on this Friday. We have a lot going on. We will get to it. And we welcome you. We're glad you're with us. It's a beautiful day, and we'll make the best of this gorgeous day. And it's always a gorgeous day when you're with us, right? All you have to do if you want to check in and share your thoughts about what we're discussing this morning, panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. Let me introduce the group to you this morning. Judith Enck, I hear on the other side there, senior fellow and visiting professor at Bennington College, founder of Beyond Plastics, former EPA regional administrator. Judith Enck, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. Great to be with you.
And one more thing. Chief guilt giver to Alan Chartok every time he puts a piece of plastic outside his house.
I'll take it.
You want to be known as a guilt giver?
If it gets people to use less plastic, anything.
Albany County District Attorney David Soares is here. Good morning, David.
I have to say I agree with Alan. I'm surrounded by the spirit of Judith. It's like Skywalker didn't speak to Kenobi
Judith
as often as I'm visited by the spirit of Judith.
It's exactly right, David.
Judy Patrick is here 2 days in a row. Couldn't be more delighted. Vice President for Editorial Development at the New York Press Association. Good morning, Judy. How are you?
Good morning. And I am not Judith does not make me feel guilty. She makes me feel empowered.
Yes, empowered.
Oh, cool.
Well, I saved Alan for the last because over the weekend, this coming weekend on Sunday, Alan will celebrate his 80th birthday.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yes.
We
wanted.
Are we having cake?
Yeah, we're going to have cake. And I just want to. So the way we would like to do this morning is if we want people to write in on the topics, but we'd also like you to write in if you have any birthday greetings for Alan, and then we'll segregate. Don't worry. We'll curate them, but we'll segregate them, and then we'll take different times of the show, and we'll read some of the birthday greetings that people have for you. But 80 years old on Sunday, which means that you're still 79. So how does that feel?
Yeah, you know. If I die today, right, then if I die today...
I don't know how this is going to go.
Well, the obit is going to say, Chartok, 79 years old, when you're one day short of being 80. You know what I mean here?
80 has never looked so good.
80, right?
Well, you're right.
Right? Yeah, man.
You're talking about me?
I'm talking about you. I mean, you walk in here, style, fashion... Yeah, you're hip. You know everything that's going on. God,
you know, I will say I was in a meeting the other night with a guy who's 82, and he mentioned that he was 82, and I said, "Wow," because the guy looks bad.
Terrific.
Bad.
Oh,
no,
he looks
really bad.
Yeah.
Like I.
Hello, he's listening right now.
Yeah. No, and I said, man, I work with a guy who's 80 who looks like 20 years younger than you do. But, you know, that goes different ways.
I'm sure it went over very well.
I didn't say that to him, but I thought it.
I'd also like to say happy birthday to Louis Chartok.
That's right.
Who I got to talk to once many years ago when I did a profile of Alan. And Louis had kind words to say about his big brother.
He did?
5 minutes.
5 minutes. Yeah. But, of course, we don't know whether my mother really was right about all of that.
Is that true? We don't know.
No, we suspect. She was a bit of an exaggerator, you know. So what is that knowing look all about, David? She was...
I didn't realize you could still hold 5 minutes over someone's head for 80 years.
Oh, Jesus, yes. Good Lord. Yeah. So 1941.
1941.
Yeah. The average cost of a new house in 1941 was $4,075.
Which is what I think my parents paid for their house on Fire Island, a little less than that.
And so, do you know the cost of a gallon of gas in 1941?
Did we have gasoline?
We did.
Okay, so I remember
when we started fossil fuels and Judith's career was born.
I remember when it was 25 cents a gallon, and that's when I was driving at age 16. So yep. I'm assuming it was much less than that.
12 cents a gallon. Yeah. You're absolutely right, Alan. You could buy a Beautyrest mattress for $39.50. You could rent a house in Manhattan, $32 per month.
Yeah.
I think the man's been around long enough now where he was getting bubble gum from trees.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You'll have to ask him. He's right here.
What do you want to know about bubble gum?
Bubble gum from trees.
Bubble gum from trees.
Yeah, you take it out.
I thought you said treats. And that's another thing about my advanced age. The hearing ain't so good.
Well, I think you have the option of hearing what you want to hear. My mom's 93, and whenever I say, Mom, ice cream, she hears me from across the room. But if I'm right next to her and I'm like, come on, we got to go, she don't hear so well.
That's great.
So now you, let's see. So again, if people would like to wish Alan a happy birthday, and why wouldn't you, you can write to us, panel@wamc.org, and we'll take your normal letters, too, on the subjects that we're talking about at panel@wamc.org. Now, how are you celebrating? How are you celebrating the big day?
Well, for all those people who haven't been invited to my house on Sunday, thanks for asking, Joe.
I'm sorry.
No, that's
okay.
Well,
you could have just said we're having a get together. I didn't know.
No, we're having it's not a big party.
Yeah.
Not a big party at all. We're just having a few people over, and that's it. The kids are coming up, which is nice, I hope. And
you hope that it's nice, or you hope that
the kids come?
Okay. Yeah. Hope that they actually come.
Yeah, and our board of trustees at WAMC, over, I might say, my strenuous objections, have put my name on the front of the building here.
Right on the building. Yeah, yeah. We saw it.
Yeah, and it really is a very nice thing. Makes me nervous, but yeah, there
it
is.
It's the Alan Chartok WAMC Broadcast Center.
It's beautiful.
And it is. It looks great. It really looks cool.
I just have one
and
question.
I love that it went up on your birthday. That's cool. Yes.
Just one question. Like, I would think that, you know, Murray would be the person that is the most interested in this weekend. Like, every birthday, does he look at his watch and go, does he do that?
Well, I don't understand.
Me neither. He's old.
You always tell me that you walk Murray at 3:30 in the morning.
Oh, I
see. The coldest day.
I got you.
I'm sure Murray's like, yo, man, you need to slow down, brother.
I don't want to get up at 3:30. Wouldn't it be nice to sleep in?
That's right.
You know, every day I walk around our Lake Mansfield, and the demons come tearing around on this one lane road. So I made four shirts which say slow down, black shirts with white on them saying slow down, and that's my contemporary philosophy.
So what do you want for your birthday, and what kind of cake are you going to have?
Well, as you probably know, I don't really eat cake.
I bet you do.
Well, okay. I lied.
Let them eat cake.
Okay, I lied. But that's Roselle's department. She goes to a particular place. We don't like to name places here on the
Understood.
Air, like the Big Y. And and they'll write anything on a cake. They'll put your picture on the cake. They'll write anything on the cake. It's amazing.
I've learned from experience I won't write everything on a cake.
Oh, is that right?
Joe, what did you try to do?
No, nothing. But you know, you can't get salty. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Let's see. We've got this from Robert, who says, happy birthday, my liege.
Ooh. Mm. You never know whether when somebody says something like that, it's, you know.
A feudal superior is a liege. Okay.
You think he, yeah.
I just want to, then there's this note, which is less controversial, is from Alexander, who said, Alan, I've been listening to you and WAMC since I was a small child, and now I'm 30 and I'm still listening.
You know, it's so interesting. I walk around, people say to me, I love WAMC. And I remember when you were on with Liz Bishop on Channel 6 3,000 years ago. And you know, there is that sort of continuity, and you say, "Hey, man, I'm not old."
But it's good continuity. continuity because Liz is still on the air. You're still on the air. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that about, and you've read that letter from a young man who written to you, because I've been out in public, and it seems as though you have managed to reach quite a broad audience, because I do have very young people who will mention that they listen to the show. So as a testament to you, I mean, we're going to be talking about a few subjects today involving social media and communications and you know, protection for First Amendment rights. But, you know, you've managed to create, you know, a place where people can come together and engage. And that's an amazing thing to have achieved in life, you know?
Okay, you can come to my testimonial dinner. No.
But not as party on Sunday, apparently.
Not as party on Sunday, yeah.
Corinne writes, happy birthday. You rock. I want to grow up to be just like you.
I love it.
Also, we got this from DJ. If WAMC was all you accomplished, and I'm sure it's not, you've done an amazing job. That is a very cool. I like that. Dear Alan, welcome to the 80-something club. Happy, happy birthday from Naomi and Beacon.
Wow.
The octogenarians are speaking.
As soon as I hear Beacon, one word pops up. Two words pop up
Pete.
In my Pete Seeger.
All right, let's see. Alan, thank you for your dedicated contributions to radio, to the region, to the planet. I've lived in many places, and I know there is no radio personality quite like you anywhere. You are one of the reasons I don't move away, and that's from Chris, who is a professor of biological sciences and computer science at RPI.
That's incredible.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's incredible. You know, when a guy like that says something, is it a guy? Chris, do we know?
Yes, Christopher. Yeah. I believe Christopher, yes.
When somebody says something like that who has all of those degrees and all of that knowledge, you got to take it seriously, don't you?
Well, I do. And man says he's not leaving because of you. You know, that's deep.
His wife's probably saying, yeah, I got this job in Phoenix.
Judy has this huge smirk across her face.
I think Judy is enjoying
it. I am. I'm loving it.
Yeah. Let's see. Marguerite writes, nevertheless, he persisted. Who else tells us about Fire Island Pete Seeger and gets up at 2 a.m., walks in the middle of the night, scares Andrew Cuomo, and has his name on a building of the radio station he nurtured and has grown? Alan Chartok, happy 80th birthday. Enjoy your special day. That is from Maggie. You know, and that's very nice. Yes?
Nothing that was said in that letter sounds like something a normal person would do.
No, I would say that's an extraordinary career. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to report that Maggie's letter is the first one that got me a little wet around the eyes.
Aww. That was really sweet. I know he has gotten a lot of flack lately for calling people stupid, so I just wanted to pass on this message from a friend's T-shirt. I'm sorry I called you stupid, but I thought you knew. I thought you already knew.
That'd be a nice gift for your birthday.
Get that printed. Go.
No, I think our other Judith had something to say there. Did you say something?
Did you say Judith?
No, I was just laughing. I want that shirt.
This from Pete, who says, wishing Alan a happy birthday. This event has brought to mind how much I appreciate Alan, his perspective, good humor, and in general, good human beingness. I like that term.
Wait a second. The part I didn't like so much is the in general.
How can you take? Well, I know how you can take, but
does Judith think have? Does she recommend like a birthday party pack, or is every decorative thing going to be written in crayon and in a reusable?
I have
paper
been
bag?
To Judith's birthday party. She celebrates in beautiful style.
But I'm saying, I mean, I like I
zero
can't
waste
imagine.
Birthday parties.
Yes.
You can do it, David.
Okay. No, well, I want advice for Alan. He's the one with the party.
I need advice. Yeah. Although I don't really have much to do with it, but, you know, you certainly don't want to get your cake in a plastic conveyance, do you?
Right, but what about paper plates for your cake? I'm still thinking
about
the
cake. If it's not too late, I'll talk to the party planner today, and I can do a consult on a zero-waste birthday party that will make everyone miserable. No straws, no glitter.
No,
no
glitter.
We are on to a new business plan here. I want to join this venture.
The zero waste birthday party.
Yes.
Let's see.
You can do it. It's easy.
Happiest of happy birthdays to one fine guy. I love your stories about Fire Island, says Denise. Maybe you can share one with us later. Alan says, very happy birthday Sunday to you and your twin brother. May you have many more years to keep us so well informed via WAMC. We got this from our good friend Jim Henler. Happy birthday. Finding WAMC was definitely one of the great things about moving to Albany some years back. Great work, Alan.
Well, coming from him, that's quite a compliment.
Peter says a very, I think we already got, I read that one from Peter. I think it came in twice. Frank says, I listen to you every day, not to just advance my political knowledge, but also to annoy my wife with your very dry musings. How do you take that one,
Is
Alan?
Is that getting your cheery-eyed, Alan?
Wait a minute. This guy's weaponized Char Talk. He's weaponized them.
Happy birthday. I hope for many, many more for you. Let's see. This is from Anthony Allen. The remainder of your AM walks and careful. The reminder of your AM walks and careful diet choices are not only a help to those who listen, but of course to you. It's why you're a spry 80 years old. That from Anthony, who says, happy birthday, Alan. Then we go to Teresa, who says, happy birthday to you, me, and my grandson, all sharing a July 25th birthday.
Wow. Awesome. I think it's the day the Andrea Doria went down. I'm not quite sure.
I'll check that out during the break. We can check that out.
Is that a song?
You know, what I remember from my profile day, my profile of Alan, is how he, when people ask me about Alan, I say, you know, he talked a lot about how a lot of his thoughts were influenced by his mother, the Democrat, or the Roosevelt Democrat. And I still remember how you talked about your mom.
When Lewis met with the governor of Missouri, Lewis has a lot of, he has a lot of money. Anyway, so she said, tell me about yourself, Lewis. And he said, well, my mother came, and she was she thought a lot about Roosevelt. And the Republican governor said, we do too, Lewis.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll start talking about some stories. We'll have some more birthday messages for Alan. We welcome yours in both cases, panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org. Alan Chartok, the birthday boy, is here. Judith Eng, David Soares, Judy Patrick, and your letters, panel@wamc.org. We just ask you, again, we're going to feel free to write about what we're talking about today. We're just going to kind of segregate the letters from both birthday and what's going on. And we'll get to all of those right after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable on this special day. We're celebrating Alan's 80th birthday. The actual birth date is on Sunday, but we're not on that day, so we're going to celebrate today. Also, just an interesting little footnote here is that Alan is 80 today. A week from today, we'll be celebrating WAMC's 40th anniversary.
We will.
So if you cut Alan in half, that's half his life. But actually, there's more than that because you were on prior to that. But we'll get to that next week. We'll try to explain that. Okay, let's see. I want to get to what is going on in the world, and we'll get started. And then we'll go back to some birthday messages, I promise. So keep those coming. Judith, I'm going to put you up front here, and let's, while we've been celebrating Alan's great life, after reading the news of today, I wonder if any of the rest of us in this room will make it to 80, given how dire our climate news is, but tell us what is going on and what we should make of this. Fires, floods, disease, it's not good.
Well, this is the worst transition in American history. Happy birthday, Alan. 80 is an amazing milestone. And now let's talk about climate change. but we'll muddle through. This is such like emotional whiplash. It's a moment in history, which is extremely concerning. Extreme weather, fires and floods, incredible drought, deforestation, impacts all over the globe. Extreme weather events have tripled since 1980. And we've always had, summer heat and flooding, but nothing like this. And I urge listeners to look at some of the video out of the province in China where our iPhones are made. They had about a year's worth of rain in 24 hours. The videos from the Chinese subway system where people were
They're just flooded.
I mean, 500 people trapped in subway cars with the water up to their waist in the cars. And I just kept thinking, what would this be like in the New York City subway system? So, you know, we are really seeing the climate crisis up close. And this is happening faster this summer than climate scientists have predicted. So we've got to do two things. One is we've got to significantly reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And that doesn't just mean building important new renewable energy assets like wind and solar. And I'd like to aggravate some of your listeners on purpose by saying those of you that are out there opposing wind and solar projects really need to reconsider what you're doing, because we need as much clean renewables coming online faster than was predicted than ever before. So, you know, of course, it should go through review and there should be community input, but we are in a climate emergency, and that is more important than your viewshed. We've got to really ramp up on renewables. And at the same time, we have to stop burning fossil fuel. You can't build, you know, solar and wind and geothermal and everyone get heat pumps and still allow fracking to proceed and still build power plants and pipelines that move fossil fuel all over the world. And, you know, once you build a power plant like the Danskammer plant, and others, they're around for 40 or 50 or 60 years.
So is it too late?
Well, unclear.
Well, that wasn't reassuring.
Yeah, I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm just trying to cycle through what various scientists are saying. And the scientists are divided. And I reminded Alan of Bill McKibben, his quote. You know, we have Bill with on the panel in the past. I mean, Joe has interviewed him. Everyone should read everything by Bill McKibben.
Yeah.
And Bill has said, winning slowly is losing. And I think that is the situation we are in.
There is a opinion piece in this morning's Washington Post that says, hey, world, are you noticing floods, fires? Could it be time to do something about climate change? Which brings us up to what can we do now, given that so much has already been done that is irrevocable.
Yeah, I was going to ask Judith about, I think we're all bearing witness to climate change, whether we care to admit it or not. When we see corporations like insurance companies refusing to now cover certain, you know, catastrophic events like flooding, which I think that's been with us for quite some time, but now we're seeing it a lot more. We were witness to flooding in Germany, and I don't know why that struck me as something different, because I think we cover global warming and we cover those horrific events in the United States, but we pay very little attention, I think, to other, you know, natural catastrophes in other countries. Maybe it's because we have so much of it here that we're not paying attention. But I was just curious about, what is it that you're seeing in other nations? I mean, of course, Germany's top of mind awareness now because of the incredible flooding that's taken there. But around the globe, what are we seeing in terms of those natural consequences, Judith?
Oh, it's quite terrible. The flooding in Germany went on to Austria. Severe drought in many African countries. Just the extreme weather is, you know, the wildfires we hear about out west. And of course, earlier in the week, we had the air pollution from the western wildfires in the Capital District in the East Coast. And it is perhaps even worse in British Columbia in Canada. I mean, we are in a global crisis, and the major climate change international meeting in Glasgow is coming up in, I think, about 6 weeks. You know, President Biden appointed John Kerry to be a special envoy on climate change. And, you know, it's like, oh, another meeting. But this meeting is very, very important. We cannot afford, you know, these long-term goals that we have at the state level, even like to significantly cut carbon emissions by 2040, 2050. No, that's too late. I mean, we need to move now, and we need to do two things. Keep fossil fuel in the ground, ramp up on renewables, reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and then simultaneously we have to brace for impact. This summer has been very bad with heat and drought and extreme weather. Next summer is going to be worse, and the summer after that is going to be worse. Greenhouse gas emissions released into the atmosphere today last for decades or centuries. So, you know, we needed to act when decades ago, but here we are. So there is a lot we can do. It is not hopeless. I think that Washington Post editorial that said "Dear World" should have said "Dear Congress."
Yeah.
Because there's a lot they can do that they're not doing. The Republicans are in a political death grip by their campaign contributions from fossil fuel and chemical companies. And the Democrats, I have to say, in Congress, most of them, are being incredibly timid. They are not meeting the moment. Well, Europe had a really good proposal, and we'll see if that survives in terms of essentially
talked about last week,
dealing with imports.
Hey, Judith, Lily wrote us a note and said, "My friend tells me she uses plastic rather than glass because plastic is recyclable and glass is not being successfully recycled. I thought they used to make glass fold. What is glass recycled into now?"
They used to make what?
It says here, I'm trying to read it. I thought they used to make glass, F-A-L-T?
Yeah, glass fault. That's like a additive to cement. Lily, thank you for your question. And this is related to climate change because making plastic results in massive carbon emissions. And, you know, it's a petroleum product. So you should stick with glass. Preferably refillable glass, if you could find that anywhere. Remember the old milkman who would deliver refillable glass to your door? Stewart's used to have refillable glass soda containers. And
milkman always got a bad reputation in the neighborhood.
We need them to come back. But glass is much better than plastic, and most plastics cannot be recycled. Plastic only has an 8.5% recycling rate. The glass markets are not great, but you can turn old glass into new glass or fiberglass or what the word she used, glass vault. If you ever, Alan, next time you're in Manhattan at night, notice the sidewalk glistens a bit. You know, it's kind of sparkly.
Yeah.
That's because it has like 10% glass cullet mixed in.
He'll notice it at 2:45.
Yeah.
And here he has been thinking he's like Michael Jackson, Billie Jean, stepping on the sidewalk and it glows. He thought it was all him doing that.
Judith, glass fault.
Judith, I have a question, and I know it's coming back to one of your favorite topics. It used to be Susan Collins, but I think there's a new person that I'm going to bother you with, and that's Senator Joe Manchin.
Yes.
A person who seems to be at ground zero for everything legislatively, legislative progress. He seems to be the impediment, him along with Kyrsten Sinema. But, you know, just last week, or it might have been the week before, where his ties to energy companies were revealed, and he seems to be earning lucrative amounts of money from energy companies. How long before we no longer consider him a Democrat, and or a Democrat, you know, in name only, given his posture about the filibuster, given his posture on voting, given his posture now on the efforts by President Biden to engage in more environmentally favorable energy sources and those bills that are pending?
Well, you know, Joe Manchin almost holds the fate of the world in his hands, and that is
Yay.
Really a bad place to be. You know, he comes across as this everyday guy, and he's looking out for the interest of coal miners. That's not really true. The New York Times reported that he made millions from his involvement in a coal brokerage firm called Inner Systems, which that's where he worked before he entered politics. And he continues to get dividends from this coal interest. So I think Joe Manchin is putting his own financial checking account ahead of progress on climate change and air pollution. And, you know, I don't know what you do about it. I mean, Schumer is trying to manage this the best he can. Alan points out a lot that, you know, the voters of West Virginia are not going to vote him out. But it's really hard to believe that the future of the planet is in the hands of Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema. I mean, we're really
screwed.
That's the word I was trying to avoid. Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. We'll let that sink into everybody. And
and happy birthday, Alan.
Please no sharp objects during the break. We'll be back. We'll continue. We welcome your letters on this subject. We welcome your birthday greetings for Alan. We'll get to some more of those when we come back right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our special birthday edition for Alan Chartok. 80 years old on Sunday. We're celebrating this morning. We're talking about all the things we normally talk about, but also letting you offer birthday greetings to the birthday boy. Kay writes, "Happy birthday, Alan. Congratulations on almost 80 years of being right." Or is it 80 years of being almost right? Either way, have a lovely birthday weekend.
Well, it's an interesting concept. I was talking about it before. Were I to fade out, for want of a better word, crap out tomorrow, the newspaper guys would say, Chi-Talk, 79.
You know, it's almost like you're hoping that's going to happen so you can have an obit that says 79 instead of 80.
No, on the contrary. I think the older the better, like fine wine.
Yes, well, I agree. Just take care of yourself until Sunday, and then you'll be okay.
You know,
80 is very distinguished.
It is.
I think so.
But you know, you
got to just stay in tomorrow. Like wrap yourself in non-plastic bubble wrap.
I don't want to jinx this in any way, shape, or form. But it just made me think. I have my favorite aunt in all the world. She died at 79, 2 days before her birthday.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
I know, but I'm just saying. Well, so that's the reason
Joe.
I say that is because
yeah.
It's already happened to someone I know. It can't happen twice.
By the way, I want to congratulate you, Joe, for your use of language. You said aunt, your favorite aunt.
Aunt.
Now, you see, I'm with you. I think it is an aunt. I've never understood where all this aunt stuff comes from, but it does, and we get corrected on it.
Yeah, they're TTs in my country. You know, we call them TT.
TT?
Yeah.
Okay.
Czechi in Polish.
Ooh.
C-I-O-C-I.
Happy birthday, Alan. I'm giving $80 for your 80 years of life, and in honor of all those years of service to our WAMC family, who else will join me in honoring Alan in this way? Come on, says Lynn.
Wow.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
Nice, Lynn.
We go to Tom. Happy birthday, Alan. We frequently travel to see your children and grandchildren. We always listen to WAMC via the internet. Our day would not start without your 745 comments, no matter where we are. Happy 80th, and may you keep telling the truth to protect us and democracy for many years. Bob says Judas. I'll get to those in a second. I moved to Woodstock in 1979, and you have taught me so much. Thank you for being so dedicated. The various happy birthday to you. Get ready for this one, Alan. Happy 80th birthday, Pops. We are so proud of you and sending huge hugs from New Orleans. We love you from Jonas and Mosiah, from your dear son.
I think the man is speechless.
Yes, very sweet. All right, let's see. We go to Ellen. Those of us without advanced degrees to back up our good wishes, nonetheless, wish you a fabulous 80th birthday. Long may you thrive, and long may WAMC prevail on the airwaves. You are both national treasures, and your listeners know it. Happy, happy birthday. David writes and says, enough nice about Alan. My friend Jay hates Alan's voice, hates his politics, is too conservative, and thinks he is too full of himself. I disagreed. Happy birthday.
Hey, man.
That is a beautiful birthday wish, right?
Yeah, David lost his job at Hallmark a couple years ago.
That's a good
one. Is Pops what the grandkids call you, Pops?
No. What did they? Oh, I know what happened. Roselle, we were both, when our first grandchild, Noah, was on the way, we were asked by our daughter, what do you want to be called? So Roselle says, Annie. Annie, she wants to be called Annie. So the kids call her Annie. That's what they know her by. And they said, what do you want to be called? I said, I want to be called Owen. So Owen, you see.
Owen. I'm going to
have How do you spell that? A-W-A-N?
A-W-A-N, yeah.
Owen.
Yeah.
See, Owen. If my kids give me that choice, it's going to be Mufasa.
I like it.
All right, let's go to some climate letters. We welcome your letters for Alan. We'll get to some more of those in a few minutes, and celebrating 80 years of Alan Chartok. And we will also go back to the more depressing issue of climate change. But we do have a lot of letters on that as well. Elaine says, great work. Please update language regarding climate. It's crisis, not change. Species extinction, deadly flooding. It is a crisis. Mm-hmm. So we make that note. Barry says, as long as the ice caps still continue to melt, flooding will continue at a faster rate, and we will see coastal areas underwater.
I know that I'm inviting some criticism here, but, you know, as far as species are concerned, I mean, do we really need alligators around?
Oh, you know, that's a very interesting point.
You know,
you make a very interesting point.
And the other
point.
Day, I was eaten alive by these little black flies. I mean, do we need those dudes around? Can we vote on that?
Like, although, more deer ticks due to climate change.
Yeah, but I mean,
you don't want them.
You will tell us, Judith, right, about the invasive species and the things that have come upon us as a result
of
climate change. Yeah, that making all this weird.
Yeah, man. You know, I'm watching Shark Week. I'm like, we don't need bull sharks. You know what I'm saying? Like, or we need bull sharks with a bad dental plan because those things have like rows and rows of teeth.
Isn't Shark Week over though? Wasn't it last week?
I don't know. I just love having David say bull shark. Cindy says, remember when they had that commercial with the Native American and a tear in his eye that really affected me back in the 70s? I wonder if anything like that would affect anybody today.
Cindy, that dude was Italian. I found that out, and it broke my heart.
Yeah, it broke my heart.
He was an actor.
But who cares? But I think we're heartless now. I don't know that anything like that would...
She makes a wonderful point because... I mean, here I am. I'm a little kid. I'm watching Bugs Bunny, Tom and Jerry, and that commercial would come on, and it would stop you in your tracks. And I remember not littering because of that, right? And we seem not to have those kind of PSAs. We seem not to be converging on any one issue and delivering that point. I mean, it's somewhat irresponsible.
Well, what was the word for littering? There was another word. Don't be a litterer or a litter bug.
Be a litter bug.
Give a hoot. Don't pollute.
That's it.
But that puts the onus on, you know, all of us. And there definitely are things that we can do in our personal lives. But we need systemic change. You know, it's not that whole PR campaign, while memorable and somewhat effective, was actually pushed by a trade association. I know this sounds so cynical, backed by the packaging industry, to not have laws like bottle bills that put deposits on beverage containers. And that is really good at preventing litter.
Give and a hoot, don't pollute, that one?
You tell me no, he was bought by the man?
The Keep America Beautiful was bought, okay. Yes.
All right.
The Native American was bought by the land. And the point is, on climate Woody. Change, was we're now Woody? Seeing...
Woody the Owl?
The owl is fine. I have no criticism of the owl.
Next is going to be Smokey Bear.
I'm just saying, Woody, they bought Woody. I listened to him.
Covering the climate crisis or climate change is a real challenge for the media. And it's something we talk about on the Media Project all the time. It's hard to convey the enormity of an enormous problem in one story, so you have to do it consistently. I'm not sure we've gotten incredibly better at it, but you are seeing a heightened awareness, especially among mainstream media. But you have the problem on the right, where there's a lot of climate change deniers still out there that you have to contend with.
But Judy, they don't have the Judith Inks. The question is, every time David and I talk about this every morning in our conversation around 7:45.
David Gustina.
Yeah. Every morning. And yet, the thing that escapes us all is, what are we going to do about it? I mean,
there's so much.
I've spoken behind Judith's back, okay? Judith Inks, I talk behind her back. But one of the things I really appreciate about her, and Judith, I don't mean to say this, you know, in your presence, but one of the things that I really appreciate about Judith Inks is the fact that she can break down very complex issues and reduce them to concepts that I can understand. Mm. And so when you say something like the media has trouble covering this, well, that's to me, I don't accept that as an excuse, because you have experts in the field like Judith that could help. And the media doesn't have to really take on, I don't need to know about the ozone layer. Tell me about what I can do right now, whether it's how I spend my money, what I consume. Tell me what I can do that I can have an impact and cover those stories.
Mm. Right.
And the problem, I think, you know, Judy's point is important. The problem with the media is the both side isms.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and also the influence of ExxonMobil and Shell. I mean, these are companies that have spent, you know, billions of dollars lying to us, you know, telling us that climate change isn't real and we have to keep relying on fossil fuel. I kind of expect that from them, because that's their product. They're not going to, you know, suddenly shift from pumping oil and gas out of the ground and shift to renewables, even though some of their ads now say that they are. The real disappointing thing is the death grip they have on elected officials. And I think the years of, you know, Exxon lying about climate change has devastated our political opportunity here to affect change. They continue to lie.
We're going to pause there and take a break. When we come back, we'll continue with our program this morning. We're wishing Alan a happy birthday, his 80th birthday, and it's on Sunday. And we're, what are you laughing at?
I'm just saying we're wishing Alan a happy birthday, but we're talking about the end of the world.
I know. But
yeah, I don't know if this is working, Joe. I mean, I'm like in an emotional basket case here, but happy birthday, Alan.
I think we can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Or tap a tree.
Our listeners are doing a fine job of differentiating. So when we come back, we'll get to some more birthday greetings for Alan. We have many letters for Judith. We'll get to those as well. And we'll move on and talk about other things that they're not really any happier, but they're not quite as dire. Yeah.
Famine.
That's right. A little bit of famine, a little bit of genocide, all coming up right after this.
You get the line, I'll get the pole. We'll all go fishing in the crawdad hole.
Honey, take away your mind.
Crawdad, crawdad, feeling mighty fine, honey.
My honey.
Crawdad, crawdad, feeling mighty fine,
babe. Crawdad, crawdad, feeling mighty fine.
I don't think we do enough crawdad music on the show.
I'm just impressed with how a 79, soon to be 80-year-old man moves to the song like that.
Well, according to Karen, Alan, 80 is the new 60. You're an incredible senior and leader of WAMC, a great model for all of us. As someone suggested earlier in the show, I will donate $80 to WAMC as well to honor you and keep this special station alive. Bless you and enjoy your day. That from Karen. We're celebrating Alan's 80th birthday. He turns 80 on Sunday, but we won't be here on Sunday, so we're celebrating it today. So let's go. I want to get
And by the way, I had not expected this. It's very nice of you, Joe.
Well,
I came in. I dragged myself in at my 80-year-old time. And I said, okay, another day.
There you go. Well, it's not another day.
You know,
it's
I had not
weekend.
Expected it either. I would have brought a cake.
You would have?
Sure.
Yeah. With
any
white
excuse.
Flour in it?
Any excuse.
With white flour. I would have brought wooden spoons.
Okay, let's see. There's some of these are mixed where we get both, but here we go. Varian says, I just want to say happy birthday and that the roundtable is a huge part of my day. If it weren't for the roundtable these past 4 years, I think I may have lost my mind. Before Trump was elected, I had zero interest in politics and I had never voted. Your show has been informative, entertaining, and highly enlightening. Scott wrote a limerick, and I think I can read it. The birthday of Alan Shartok is the subject of much table talk. As he soon turns 8T, his thoughts turn to way T while during his 3:30 walk.
Brilliant.
Aren't you supposed to be reading those with a particular
accent
there, my
friend? Well, you.
Well, yeah.
I know, I don't have that.
Considering.
And in my best Irish, I will say what Scott says, mazel tov. We go to Anne, who said, actually, we go to Harleen. I've been listening to WAMC since the very early 1970s. I was going to the State University in Albany. I've been listening to WAMC wherever I lived in the Hudson Valley in upstate New York. I graduated Hunter College on Park Avenue in New York City in 1963. I made a special effort to see you in person when you came to the State University of New York in Oneonta. My boyfriend, Holt, lovingly used to call you Alan Shartok. I think that's a compliment.
Shartok.
Yes. Shartok.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is she still with
Hunter,
Holt?
I went to Hunter also. I went uptown. Because Lehman College was then Hunter College, and then I take the D train down to Manhattan and go to Hunter downtown, because frankly, that's where all the good stuff was, you know, like the newspaper.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And the girls.
I got
stuff
gotcha.
Like
okay.
That.
Doug and Lara write, happy 4/5 of a century, Alan. You have made and continue to make WMC the most valuable and edifying public radio station in the country, both through your own insights and interviews and through your assembling of a great staff. Keep holding back time, Superman, says Doug and Lara. We also go to Michael. Alan has focused my appreciation of Pete Seeger. Him singing This Land Is Your Land earlier, it was so beautiful. That should be our national anthem.
True.
We check in with Alan, who lives in both New York and in Shushan, and says, those of us without advanced degrees to back up our good wishes nonetheless wish you a fabulous 80th birthday. Long may you thrive, and long may WAMC prevail on the airwaves. You are both national treasures, and your listeners know it. Happy, happy birthday.
Man, that advanced degree comment there. Really
there's
stuck.
A little bit of a little dig there. Yeah.
It's stuck.
Congratulations on 80 years, Alan, says Clarence. Also, we got this from. I have a spelling. Oh, okay. It's Elisa. Elisa, a year younger than you, so keep inspiring. Happy birthday, dear Alan. XOXO. And then there's a person playing golf, and I think that's the emoji. Okay. Golfer are you, Alan?
Not me, no. Although the first time I ever met Pete, I was at Buck's Rock Work Camp and playing one hole golf, the only time I ever did it, with my friend Jeff Ryder.
What's that?
Yeah. I have there was no one, idea.
There was one hole.
I think we just need to not talk about it.
Well, there was one hole at the end of each, at the end of a field, you see, and you went back and forth between those holes. That's called one hole golf. So anyway, and then we looked up, and there
was.
Was
that in college?
When?
And then, I was 14.
Okay, well, then they changed the game and added 17
no,
more?
No.
By the way, I think 14 fun. Is when I started playing one hole golf.
And then we looked up, and there was this crowd on the porch of the great big camp house there. And we said, "What's that?" So we walked up there. We used to play for Orange Drinks, and that's where the Orange Drink machine was, by the way. So we walked up there, and there was this big tall guy.
Now, what was
and
the
he had a banjo? And guess who it was? It was Pete.
Wow.
Now, tell me, what was the name of the Orange Drink? Was there a name in the Orange Drink? My father always used to talk about a specific Orange Drink.
No, I don't remember.
Okay. If you're in the inner city, that drink is called Tang.
Tang, yeah. Well,
it wasn't knee-high. It was something.
Fanta?
No, you kid. No,
it
was something an orange drink, and I don't know. My father always used to talk about it, and my dad grew up very close to where Alan grew up.
He did, and we once had a long conversation about 96th Street,
the neighborhood.
Yeah,
we got a lovely. We got a picture. I'll show it to the group here in the studio. This is of a dog. See the dog.
I see the dog.
And this is happy birthday to Sparky Shartok from your friend and admirer Sharky Tim Payne. We want 50 more years, Alan. Love from all the Tim Payne family.
Oh, that's so nice.
Even the dogs are wishing you a happy birthday. Alan, happy birthday to my favorite eternal camp counselor. May your campfires glow softly and your marshmallows be forever golden.
Oh, boy.
You got your best birthday present the day Roselle said yes.
You are so right.
Oh, that's true.
Happy combined 160th birthday to Alan and his twin brother, Lewis. In 2006, writes Michael, my father went into the hospital up in Plattsburgh. He passed in the next 2 weeks, needless to say, sleeping in the waiting room while my sister and I took care of our mother. While my family went home to New Paltz, it was a devastating time. The one constant that helped keep me grounded was WAMC and, of course, Alan. Thanks, WAMC, and thank you, Alan.
That's beautiful, man.
It's very nice. Alan, thank you for everything that you have given humanity. Thank you for growing a station that has enhanced the quality of my life tremendously. Congratulations on your birthday. That from Tom. Ellen says Alan's Slow Down t-shirt would make awesome fun drive gifts. Happy birthday to the great one. Is there a significance behind the Slow Down shirt?
Yes. I walk, as you know, in the dark in the mornings around Lake Mansfield. And when I get to the end of it, I make a left turn, go down past the nursing home, and then turn back. I said, I'm not going in there. So then I come back, and the cars come whizzing by at 80 miles an hour, even though it's a 20-mile-an-hour area. So I made 4 Slow Down t-shirts, black with white lettering on them.
Is the lettering on the front or the back of
both.
You?
Both.
Yeah.
B-O-F.
Does it glow in the dark?
It does not.
Yeah,
but
should.
He does. Just
oh, that's
record.
True.
I do.
You know, as a person involved in public safety, I shudder every time you give people such detail about what you do and the time that you do it.
Yeah, no. You're not the only one who's ever said that.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Alan. Thank you. Over the last 25 years, you helped me through some difficult times, the 2000 election chaos when I was postpartum and very emotional, 9/11 and on. You've helped me make sense of the world. Thank you. Enjoy your party. Awesome. Anna says, happy birthday, Alan. You are an exemplary example of a mensch. I am not of Jewish heritage, but I do think I am not wrong. Mensch definition is a person of integrity and honor, right? The round table has become my breakfast companion. So that from Anna. Happy birthday, Alan. I'm a loyal WAMC listener, grateful both for your work bringing this terrific station to us and for fighting the good fight against the real forces of evil facing us. Thank you so much. That from Barbara in Ulster County. Happy birthday, Alan. I was in the music company orchestra when we backed up your playing of Trumpeter's Lullaby eons ago.
Oh, boy. Was I terrible.
How long ago was that?
The poster is in my office. What happened?
Oh, is that the one?
The poster's in my office. And, you know, I played it in junior high school. I said, I'll play it again. And so I went to a famous trumpeter in our area, and I said, I need some lessons. And the guy said, let's look at the trumpet. He looked through it, through the mouthpiece, and he couldn't see anything at the other end. It was completely, you know...
Spit-filled?
Corroded?
Cause,
no, it had junk in it. It had a lot of junk that had accumulated there. And so it went. Selma Kaplan t- who is a phenomenal musician, in case anybody doesn't know it, worked with me to play the Trumpeter's Lullaby, which I had soloed in junior high school, and we got through it, and I was terrible, really terrible.
So Matt says, keep blowing that horn, Alan. So then Virginia says, Alan, I have 10 years on you. Oh, good for you. Good for you, Virginia. I have 10 years on you, and I have been you've been my morning companion for many of those years. I have been blessed with good health and wish you the same. God bless and happy birthday. Also this from Rob. Happy birthday, Alan. The roundtable wouldn't be the same without your personal mix of crankiness, impatience, intelligence, thoughtfulness, and acronyms. Happy 80th. You're deciding whether you like that or not.
No, I like it. I just can't think of what the appropriate acronyms are.
Adoration for Alan from Kisty, who says, for years people have asked me, who do you take after in terms of your views? I don't get it because I'm so different from my parents. I always reply, I take after Alan Chartok because I've been a listener for so long. In fact, WAMC is such a constant around here that a couple years ago, when my daughter was 4 or 5, our neighbor asked, what should I name my new horse? I think we see where this one's going, right?
Wow.
Yeah. Is there a horse out there named Alan Chartok?
And my daughter replied almost immediately, name him Alan Chartok. Have an absolutely wonderful birthday weekend. You deserve it. Well, we don't know whether the horse is named Alan or not. Oh, it's Nedix orange drink. That's exactly Nedix?
Well, there's Nedix, which
has... N-E-D-I-C-K?
Yeah, Nedix, which was the hot dog place that everybody went to in Manhattan or in Coney Island.
Yeah, and I guess that was the orange drink I was thinking of. So thank you very much for that, Michael. Yeah. Okay, now your turn, Judith. Thank you. We'll get to some more birthday wishes a little bit later, but we have a lot on climate change, not surprisingly. So let's go
back to death and destruction. Returning to your normal programming.
Ray wants to know what part of the horse was named after Alan Chartok, by the way.
Is that R-Ray?
R-Ray.
Yeah. Oh, R-Ray wanted to know that.
Let's see. Mark says, is it true that the increase in carbon dioxide in the atmosphere has led to an increase in the amount of poison ivy and the size of the leaves? I've noticed both in my rambles with my beagle-ish mutt. That from Pete.
You know, that is such a relevant and important question. I'll tell you why. Because when I grew up on Fire Island, poison ivy came up to your chin. It was that high. Well, of course, I was shorter, but it was pretty high, right? And it was, you know, the three leaves, but it was also, I don't know how to say this, but it was shiny. Really shiny, and it was really tall. Now they always tell me poison ivy is not Fire Island poison ivy. So they don't know anything, to be perfectly honest with you. And now I'm always...
You know, now you're sounding like an 80-year-old.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
You mean
like grumpy?
Which is the crankiness?
Yeah, the crankiness.
I don't like the fact that, you know,
he's pointing at us.
Fire Island poison ivy is not regular poison ivy.
Alan, or Judith, do you want to get on the poison ivy question?
Yes. Yeah, what do you think?
Well, I can't speak specifically to poison ivy, but certainly the vegetation has changed due to the changing climate. And people really need to be careful with deer ticks.
Yeah.
There's Lyme disease is incredibly serious, and there is an increase in deer ticks.
As I'm about to buy heating oil for another winter, my question is, what is going to be the heating systems to replace fossil fuel heat and warm and hot water systems throughout the world? There has got to be millions of these things that are going to need to be replaced.
Yeah, and creating lots of jobs in the process. Heat pumps is one way to go. Reliable source of heating and cooling, very, very efficient. I think there are state tax credits for it.
Remind us what it is. You take the heat out of the ground, right, and you pump it up. Is that the idea?
Well, that's geothermal, and that is certainly viable. It is expensive. The more the people buy these systems, you know, the more the price will come down. Heat pumps is just a very energy efficient heating and cooling system, and you're connected to the grid. And so, you know, for heat pumps to be the real winners, we need to change the big power plants from oil and gas to large solar and wind, you know, centralized power generation. There are many, many things we can do to replace fossil fuel. But, and think of this, you can get rid of the oil tank in your basement, which often leaks and is a major headache for people. But lots of good information out there. Go to the websites of Union of Concerned Scientists, New York State Energy Research Development Authority, NYSERDA. Lots of opportunities to get off fossil fuel in your own home.
David and I are coming under a fire for our thoughts on invasive species. Janet says the comment that we don't need alligators displays ignorance of the dazzling and interconnected web of life within ecosystems and should not go unchallenged. We can pick up and choose what species to save, and it's a good thing because we are not wise enough to understand how co-evolved systems operate.
What is the letter writer's name?
Judith.
What is the letter writer's name?
He's assembling a grand jury as we speak.
Jeffrey says, "Hey Joe, love you, but the most invasive species on Earth are humans, are they not? And are we not the vehicle for all mother invasive species with our ships and our airplanes?" Yeah. Judith, bottom line is we have outstripped our environment, and like any other species that has done the same, faces a precipitous drop in population. Natural processes correct all. Sorry for the pessimism, but this is reality.
I'm just, I think we should invite someone to the WAMC, a historian, to educate us on what a joke is. Means.
I've learned the hard way. That's not the
thing
you do.
There is what is Alan always says.
No, Freud said it. Yes. There is no joke.
Oh dear. I was.
Let's see. This one.
We knew you were joking, David.
I'm afraid to say knock knock because certain people will actually go to their doors and open them.
I love it.
Hello, panel, and happy birthday to Alan. I love David, but we need all species, black flies and the rest.
Oh, my God.
Maybe we could do away with invasive species such as Japanese knotweed. See, there's you could have gone after
hey,
knotweed.
Man, if I knew what that was, I would have been right there with you. I'm standing with you.
Now, you're one
zebra
of the
zebra mussels. You're go after the
zebra mussels. That's right.
You're one of the smartest guys I know, David, and you knew. I could see the glint in your eye. You knew what you were going to get into when you said that stuff.
Yes. I have an irrational fear of being mauled by alligators, great whites. Sometimes I don't even take baths for fear of sharks.
Sharks
getting at me. You know what I'm saying? If I ever get, if I'm ever in a shark attack, by the way, if I'm
shark
ever
attack.
If I ever get attacked by a shark, you can guarantee that that shark walked off the beach, and attacked me at a tiki bar.
Yeah, I get it.
Folks, it's
David,
a joke.
I want to know, David, what joke. Are your views on the guy off of Cape Cod who got swallowed by the whale? Does that give you nightmares?
Well,
he lived to tell the tale.
I read about that, and the first thing I said to my wife was, if this was one of my friends, I'd be walking into places with him and saying, see, even the whale didn't want this man. He's forever single, undateable.
Jim says, I think when Judith makes statements like the weather will be worse next summer and worse the summer after, that she just fuels the idea that she is being hysterical and people won't listen. It's like global warming is coming and then lots of snow. You have to look at patterns and not individual summers or winters. Well, I don't think that's what you're doing.
It is patterns. The climate crisis is not the weather. It is the patterns. But, you know, the fact is the hottest years on record have all been in the last decade. So we are blurring the lines a little bit. The 6 warmest years on record have all occurred since 2014. So the patterns and the daily weather is merging a bit. But thanks for the letter. Really nice.
We will rue the day. Nice letter. Thank you very much for writing. We love your letters. Rick says, we will rue the day back in the late 70s when the no nukes movement steered us away from the necessary component for eliminating CO2 emissions, nuclear power plants. Relying solely on the intermittent sources of wind, solar, and hydro will never meet the energy demands of what soon will be 10 billion humans. Nuclear, solar, wind, hydro, and hydrogen will all be required if we are serious about ending our addiction to burning fossil fuels. Sadly, the World War II effort and sacrifices necessary are nowhere in sight. Go to this one from Ileana, who says, why is the onus for making choices about plastic and glass, et cetera, only on the consumer? Why not hold corporations responsible for producing packaging that does not harm the environment? Why do bread companies close their bags with plastic chips that break in your hands? I can just see the marine life eating these every time I have bread. Yet you cannot find bread with a twist tie anymore. Why are there still plastic rings holding your beer cans together? They can make ring holders that are biodegradable easily. Corporations should be forced to make changes.
That's why we need laws, because voluntary changes by companies isn't working because plastic is so cheap. And there is a really good bill in Congress called the Break Free from Plastic Pollution Act, which some legislators in our region has co-sponsored, some have not. But it does just what the letter writer is directing.
We got this, and then we'll go to a break. Diana says, my local New Hampshire dairy puts our milk in glass bottles that are returned and reused. 50's bottling system has never been selling milk, has been selling that milk that way for 30 years. Hooray for them, and hooray for Alan for giving so much mischief to WAMC through thick and thin. Happy birthday, sir. Pete Seeger is smiling down on you. We will be back right after this. I said fight on, fight on, fight on, fight on, fight on. Children, don't turn back, don't turn back. We are wrong. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. We are doing a lot of things at one time here. We're celebrating Alan's birthday, which is officially on Sunday, his 80th birthday. So that's very nice. We have a couple more letters that I want to get to. Also, we'll go into the bonus round. We've mostly been talking about the climate and the end of the planet, and maybe we'll talk about other things.
Bonus round.
Yeah,
I've
bonus
never done
round.
That before.
Yeah, no, we'll try to get to as many topics as we as we can in the bonus round. Real quick, though, some nice. Very nice letters to Alan. I have noticed that people, if you give them a little more time, they're writing poetry and getting a little more creative. So there's that, too. Leslie says, a couple years ago, I was at the WAMC offices waiting for Joe to interview me about my book. Suddenly, Alan popped in. I was so excited, being a Roundtable fan, and blurted, Alan, you're famous! Alan blushed, disappeared, and came back with a Pete Seeger poster, which he gave me. It is now framed and hanging proudly in my Catskills home, and it reminds me every day of Alan's kindness, generosity, and sweetness. Thank you, Alan, for all you do and for being you. Happy birthday. P.S. Wish I was on Fire Island, my other heart's home as well. Very nice. We go to Albert. A professor of note named Shartok was not a big fan of the car talk. When fundraising the station divine, he threatened them time after time. One method of fundraising art was playing my mother, the queen of my heart. Till the money rolled in, and he'd say with a grin, 'tis over, let car talk begin. That from Adrian.
Very clever.
Yeah. Very nice. Very nice. Well, dated, but very nice. That could have been written on your 60th birthday.
Yeah,
just be like,
right.
Recycle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alan, you are like a fine wine. Don't shake the bottle. Dawn. Irene, thanks is too small a word for all that you've been and done for our community and world. You define mensch. Continued blessings with eternal gratitude. Thanks, kiddo. From Irene. Happy 80th birthday. A big happy 80th to Alan. He's funnier than Jimmy Fallon. He runs a tight ship. WAMC is always a trip. Now go get yourself a nice bagel with salmon.
There you go.
Say the rhyming of Fallon and salmon.
Yeah, yeah. Two words you never thought would be in the same.
No, yeah. But it works. All right. Hopefully, I did justice to that. All right. Let's see. Let's go into that bonus round that we spoke of moments ago, and we'll get to as many topics as we can here. Pivotal moment is what the CDC is now calling this fight against the Delta variant. I think there has been increased tension over the last several days over the coronavirus. Top Biden administration officials on Thursday said that a hyper-transmissible virus of variant, excuse me, of the coronavirus is posing new challenges for the nation's health system, urging millions of unvaccinated Americans to get shots and protect themselves and their communities. The Delta variant, first detected in India, now represents more than 83% of cases circulating in the United States, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. People infected with the variant appear to carry a viral load that is more than 1,000 times that of those infected with earlier forms of the virus, allowing the virus to spread rapidly among unvaccinated people, according to scientists. There was some modeling that was put out yesterday by several scientific organizations showing that the surge and, unfortunately, deaths could be four times what we are seeing right now, which would bring it around 1,000 deaths a day, which is very sobering when you think that October really isn't all that far away. So we've been talking about this throughout the week in different forms as far as vaccinations and masking. But do you all agree that there seems to be there's just in the last week, there's a different feel about it where people seem to be taking this a lot more seriously?
Absolutely. You want to give me a birthday present? Go get the shot.
Yeah.
Protect your life, protect your children, protect your parents. I must say, of all the stumps that I've had over the years, I'm most stumped by the fact that people are not taking this, and they're going to. So many of them are going to die as a result.
I'm not stumped by it. I've never, in my lifetime, I've never ever seen something like this politicized. I've never heard a person with the most powerful bully pulpit on planet Earth speak from that pulpit and tell people to do something that was not to their benefit. Mm. The first time in my life that I can recall that. And here we are, right down what appears to be political lines. If you're a red state, you have low vaccination. What are we talking about when we're talking about, was it Missouri with 30%? Yeah. Something like that.
Missouri is the hotspot of the nation.
And what did you think was going to happen? And then you continue to see members of Congress, specifically from the Republican Party, continuing to play down the significance of this. You know, and then Steve, you know, Scalise just the other day, you know, admits that he's had his vaccinations. They've all had their vaccinations, all of them. But they continue to play this game because it's politics. And they continue to raise money as a result of it. You have an entire network that is completely devoted to undermining the health of our nation. And we don't call them on it. And there's nothing that is happening by way, I mean, as I understand it, Klobuchar, Senator Klobuchar, is now introducing a bill to revisit, you know, the restrictions on social media that would address the misinformation that's going on out there. But we are going to be back in October in the fall. We are going to be back where we were. And it's to me, it does mean no. I don't feel better knowing that, you know, I'm vaccinated, because the people that are vaccinated, we can still be sick. We can still get sick by right. people who are not vaccinated. So we're on this honor system now. And we're hoping that people are honest about it. But how could you hope that people are honest about it when there is such resistance to begin with? And so we are at a crisis point. We're going to continue to see this in the press. I expect next Friday and the Friday after that to be talking about much larger numbers right. and people who are dying because of the irresponsibility of leadership leading people to their death. That's just amazing to me.
Judith, thank you.
Well, I agree with all of that. I mean, new cases are up 180% in the last 2 weeks. Deaths are up by 30%. But this is, you know, this is the tale of two nations, vaccinated and unvaccinated. There's always the worry of breakthrough infections for those who are vaccinated, but that is rare. There's compelling data now that the real spread and the real risk is for people who are unvaccinated. And I just don't understand, you know, these innovative efforts to kind of incentivize or bribe people to get the vaccine with lottery tickets and cash prizes. Wouldn't you think staying alive and not suffering with this illness is enough to, you know, to convince people? But, you know,
well, you can do both.
Yeah. I try everything. And, you know, and I've noted.
I got out of a parking ticket in Albany and I've been vaccinated. I was going to get vaccinated anyway, but I took the parking ticket.
Yeah, I mean, whatever it takes. Because I think of, you know, some person may decide not to get vaccinated, but what about the impact they have on their children, on their friends and their neighbors? I mean, it's just amazing. Mm. Now, the last few days, you've seen even DeSantis in Florida, and I saw the governor of the Republican governor of Alabama make a very strong statement.
The governor of Alabama went, yeah. Kay Ivey.
She was good. But, and I'm okay that they're late to the party, very late. You know, we have to figure out who are the messengers that people are going to listen to. I don't know if it's Republican governors. Trump has been kind of all over the map on vaccines, although rest assured he's been vaccinated multiple times. You know, we need messengers that people are going to listen to. So sports figures, entertainment figures. I mean, we just have to keep our heads down and keep figuring out ways to get these vaccination rates up. It's criminal.
Judy?
There's plenty of misinformation out there from all platforms. You hear it on Fox News. You see it in memes, especially on Facebook and other forms of social media. We've seen, you know, the Fox News people come around a little bit. Sean Hannity and Steve Doocy, popular hosts there, have started to talk up the vaccine. But still, you got Laura Ingraham, Tucker Carlson, still, they do the, oh, we're just raising questions about the vaccine, which raises doubts in everyone's mind. I don't know what the solution is now, because at this point, it's almost become a badge of honor not to take the vaccine. And it's an incredibly difficult to reason with anti-vaxxers. But I think we can't stop trying, even as exasperating as it is. And I'm not sure that celebrities are going to do the trick at this point. I think, and I don't even think your own personal doctor is going to do the trick, because there's plenty of times people go to the doctor and don't do what the doctor advises. But this is a problem that's being created. I would love to see more focus on the vaccination and less on the masking at this point, just because the vaccination does a lot more good than masking.
You know, I think it's great, Judy, and all that there are some Republicans who are now coming out and saying, get it, Mitch McConnell and all the others. But I scratch my head, and this will not go over well, especially on my birthday day. What do you tell somebody whose relative, mother, son, daughter, died from this because of these guys, these people, and what they did during that time? It's reprehensible in every way, and I'm sorry. Good for you, Mitch. You finally did what you should have done in the beginning. But think about those dead people. Think about all those people, you know, who didn't get the shot because basically you weren't there.
Right, and people don't know what the long-term effects of this. If you're 20 or 30 years old, you're thinking, oh, maybe I'll get a mild case. But you know what? You may get a really serious case, and you may have long-term effects.
You know, there's so much we don't know, and the number of people who are getting sick who have been vaccinated is really interesting to me, because we're seeing this in two camps. Mm-hmm. When we see it when a baseball team gets benched because many members of the team, well, they're tested every day. So we know that because they're being tested. And in other cases, it's because people have severe symptoms and they're going and they're presenting themselves as a vaccinated individual and they are diagnosed with COVID. But what about all those people that we don't know about, that aren't getting tested, and we don't have a system in place anymore? The contact tracing is gone. So if you go in and you sit down in a room with people, because we're having events again, and you sit in a room with people, and someone there has COVID and may be vaccinated, may not be vaccinated, you don't know, what do you do with that information now?
We have just in my organization, we have just come back to some semblance of normalcy. We're not operating at 100% capacity just yet. But there is a sense of normalcy. And I had to have that conversation with my staff the other day. We may be shutting back down. Why? Because the vast majority of the people that are coming to us are people that are, you know, vaccine, they experience vaccine hesitancy, right? So we're exposing, you know, our staff to a population that hasn't been vaccinated. What does that mean for us? And this thing that just bothers me so much is this conflation between, oh, well, you know, we got to respect business. We need business to keep America functioning. Okay, governor from Florida, but, you know, people aren't going to be patronizing your establishments if they're ill. This should be the number one priority right now so that we can avoid the big ditch that's coming in the fall when masking becomes an issue again, when lockdowns become an issue again. And this has to be prioritized from the White House to every state house in the country.
Can we take a break and then we'll come back and then we'll finish up with this and then we'll do some more birthday messages and then I'll take it to the top of the hour. Does that work? I'm asking Mike Bowen, our wonderful engineer. He says, sure. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
If I had a bell, I'd ring it in the morning. I'd ring it in the evening.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Going into extra innings here. Just want to get some more birthday messages in for Alan and finish up on our topics for this morning. Alan Chartok, Judith Eng, David Soares, and Judy Patrick making up the party committee today. I think this is an interesting story about Brett Kavanaugh. During nearly 3 years after Brett Kavanaugh's tumultuous confirmation to the Supreme Court, the FBI has disclosed more details about its efforts to review the justice's background, leading a group of Senate Democrats to question the thoroughness of the vetting and conclude that it was shaped largely by the Trump White House. Now, my question to the group before me is this a surprise? Did we not think this was the case?
The most corruptible president in the history of the United States, corrupting every single institution that falls within the ambit of our federal government. It is not surprising at all. The thing is that you can anticipate over the next several years to continue to have this kind of information being uncovered and being reported.
Alan?
Yeah, you know, it has immense consequences that the court is loaded the way that it is loaded. You know, Mitch McConnell and Trump had their way, and they got it, and it's going to have profound effect. They're not going to take Brett Kavanaugh off the Supreme Court. They won't do it, no matter what they find. Look, judges have been impeached before, and federal judges anyway, in the history of the country. But, you know, I heard it and I said, I'm not terribly surprised.
Judy?
4,500 tips came into the tip line.
That's unbelievable.
And a few of them were referred to the White House Counsel's Office for further review, which I think whether or not that was ever done is not determined. I doubt that it was. But I'm not saying that there were 4,500 instances of problems, but 4,500 is a lot.
It is.
And
yeah,
it deserved to be investigated. I'm of the mind that it will be investigated and that maybe he would be impeached if something is really there.
Judith?
Well, this is not surprising, but it's still disappointing Trump White House the White House told the FBI what leads they could and could not look at. So, you know, when do the FBI become so wimpy? I mean, don't they have a duty to follow the facts? And I agree with Judy. It may not be possible to get Kavanaugh off the bench, where I think he's incredibly unqualified, but I think we need to set the record straight. You know, Dr. Christine Blasey put a lot on the line coming forward and bravely testifying. And I think this, the new administration should direct the FBI to be fair but to follow up on every credible accusation, and there should be a public accounting of this. If nothing else, to make sure this doesn't happen in the future. What an abdication of their responsibilities at the FBI.
4 years, and it took that long. It's pretty amazing. We have a few more moments here. I just want to go back to some letters we have here. We're celebrating Alan's 80th birthday, which is officially on Sunday. So we're celebrating it today on the program. Judy and Chuck write and say, happy 80th birthday, Alan. You both inspire both of us to keep on keeping on. Thank you for your leadership of our wonderful WAMC. Enjoy a beautiful birthday weekend. Also, Alan says, Joseph, your service to the community is appreciated by so many people, and the impact of the programs you created is enormous. Enjoy the celebration. We also got this, which I think is very cool. We got a whole bunch of pledges from people who took up, I forget the woman's name who earlier challenged others, I should have written it down, to challenge others to $80 for 80 years. So we got one from Anonymous in Altamont, says, happy birthday, Alan. Dwayne in Hillsdale, happy birthday. David and Evelyn in Kingston. Alan, from one octogenarian to another, welcome and happy birthday. Wish you many, many more healthy ones, from Dave. Bill did that as well. Happy birthday, Alan. Anonymous of Verbank, New York, says, in honor of Alan's 80th birthday. Joseph and Mona did the same thing in honor of his birthday. David and Pat said, yeah, here's 80 for Alan, twice over, from two of your fondest listeners. Lynn and Keith did the same. Happy birthday, Alan. $80 for 80 years of your life. And in honor of all those years of service to our WAMC family, Joanne and David say, happy birthday, Alan. And there were two more, but that requires me to open up another screen. So give me 2 seconds.
You should have said you turn 250.
Yeah, at 100, the money's going to roll in.
And by the way, Joe, not to be too crass about this, but if somebody wants to do that and put $80 into the pot, what would they do?
They would go to WAMC.org. They would go to WAMC.org. You can call us as well, 1-800-323-9262. But WAMC.org is the easiest way to do it. And that's how all these wonderful people did it, like George in Lenox. Happy birthday, Dr. Alan. This is the best way to celebrate your birthday. It is the only way to sustain the continuation of your great gift to the citizens of this country. Jerome did it as well, and we thank all of those wonderful people for doing such a beautiful thing this morning for Alan's birthday. Monique writes, I suggest on this date next year the panel must wear matching T-shirts that proudly proclaim, I agree with Alan. Also...
Slow down.
Alan, you are so wonderful, brilliant, and funny. Yeah, often corny, but that still counts. You and the panel give us the strength to deal with the maddening news that we face every day. A happy birthday. You are well loved. And we will end with this one that says, I remember first hearing Alan a little over 25 years ago when I moved to Albany from Northern California. His honesty, expressiveness, and sense of humor was new to me, coming from a more reserved culture. Northern California is more reserved than Albany, New York.
Huh. I think they may mean the station.
I see. Yes, that's a good point. Yes. I thought, well, I'm going to like it here. And that is from Debbie in Albany. So thank you, everybody, for reaching out this morning. Very sweet of you. And, of course, a big happy birthday to Alan. And we hope you have a beautiful weekend and a beautiful time with your family and in celebration. And I'm wondering, so at what point during the calendar year will you start referring to yourself as 81?
You know, I always do that.
Yeah, I know you do. That's why I asked the question.
You go 1 year ahead of yourself. That way, when it arrives, the pain isn't really there. But I do want to thank everybody for your kindness and your decency and saying some very nice things, which are hardly deserved. But I do thank you.
Well, thank you. It's been a very nice morning. We're going to go to... we've got another full hour here, but thanks to the panel for holding on for a few more minutes. I greatly appreciate it. Judy, thank you for being here 2 days in a row. Great to have you here. David, always good to see you.
Nice to see you.
Very nice to be here. And Judith, be well. Thank you very much.
Yeah, happy birthday, Alan.
Thank you again.
All right, indeed. Thank you. Happy birthday, Alan. You're the best. See you on Monday. We'll be back right after this.